It's our crest, our coat of arms, and what it means to wear it.
Binsky will take the tap and ahead for Nudibara out to the neutral zone, finding Foligno.
It's when we dig deep.
Foligno's got help on the rush.
At the right moment.
And he drops it back for Dubinsky over to Savard. He shoots and scores!
It's our blue, and out of our blue, we rise.
Head to BlueJackets.com for tickets, news, and more.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Podcast with Rob Aller, Bill Rabinowitz, and Joey Kaufman from the Columbus Dispatch.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is made possible by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Welcome to Buckeye Extra Football Podcast from beautiful Somerset. That's where we are, right? Somerset, New Jersey, near Rutgers, where Ohio State made mincemeat of the Scarlet Knights. Or, as Joey Kaufman, who's with me, and Bill Rabinowitz is here, I'm Rob Aller. Joey Lakes wants to change the name of the Scarlet Knights to just the Knights.
Correct. It's like when
Not Night.
When the Tampa Bay Devil Rays dropped the devil and they became the Tampa Bay Rays, they went to the World Series. So I only assume that if Rutgers drops the Scarlet and becomes the Knights, they'll go to the College Football Playoff.
And this is why Joey has a lot to learn.
And my comeback to that was, why not drop the Knights and become the Rutgers Scarlet and be the color of the East Coast, like the Stanford Cardinal is of the West Coast.
Or better yet, the Big Ten could drop Rutgers entirely.
That's relegation,
like in the English Premier League. Relegation.
Although I did point out in one of my little commentaries today that in a way this works out for Ohio State this season because, yeah, Rutgers is bad. Maybe it's bad for the Big Ten. But do you really want an Iowa, any possibility
Of an
Iowa 2017 or a Purdue 2018 with Rutgers? Do you really want to get them to get to the point where, at least this time of the season, when you got Penn State and Michigan coming, that you really – this is just a W. You just – preseason, you put a W there. It's not a bad thing, especially when Alabama is playing West Carolina and Clemson's playing Wofford. Rutgers is your Wofford.
You're exactly right because
– what was that – I'm exactly right.
First time for everything, folks.
I've said it before in this podcast, but the Big Ten plays 9 conference games. The SEC plays 8 conference games, and the SEC also adds a FCS buffer. So if you're Ohio State, you're playing 3 non-FCS teams in non-conference, so you got to get the closest equivalent to an FCS team. I looked this up this week, but there are 20 FCS teams in Sagarin ranked higher than Rutgers.
Why, first of all, are you looking this stuff up?
Because I bring people information, Bill. It's our job. Our job is to tell people things. And now you know that there are 20 FCS teams ranked higher than Rutgers in Sagarin.
That's a good stat. Let me just jump in because we need to set the scene here.
Okay.
This is a post game. This is now, what time is it here?
Almost midnight.
Almost midnight, the witching hour. And we're in a hotel room. And we're all fully clothed.
What?
We're setting the picture, okay?
I don't think they want that picture in any form.
I would rather have a picture of us fully clothed.
I don't think they were thinking anything other than that.
Well,
why would you think there would be any possibility that it wouldn't be that?
I'm not saying it. I'm not going there. What I'm saying
is...
What I'm saying is... Bill Rabinowitz is laying on a bed, and he looks like... Let me finish. He looks like a Civil War, one of these pictures of the Civil War generals laying in the field. Picture that thing where, you know, the knee is bent, and he's on one elbow, and you are a student of history, are you not, Bill?
I was a history major, correct.
Well, am I wrong on this picture?
You know, when I got in my hotel bed, I'm thinking, you know, this takes me back to my college years.
We're going
to
take a break here for a word from our sponsor. When Rosati Windows arrives at an in-home consultation, we always tell our customer that a house can't talk to you, but it typically will give you signs that something isn't right. A home's windows are particularly communicative. Although they don't last forever, a high-quality, well-maintained window could last for many, many years. One, such as a Rosati window. However, at some point, they may not be at their best, so listen carefully to what they are telling you, and you will know that it's time to have them replaced. Are there drafts? Are they damaged or warped? Do they stick when you close or open them? If you answer yes to any of these, it may be time to call Rosati Windows for an at-home consultation. Learn more at rosatiwindows.com.
Okay, so moving right along.
Yeah, Rutgers. Actually, let's give Rutgers their due.
Yes.
They scored as many points on Ohio State as any other team in the country has this year. Florida Atlantic and Rutgers have scored the most of any team against Ohio State.
Do you know what that tells me?
Their backups played a lot tonight.
That tells me that those are the two games that Ohio State was the least interested in playing.
Well, they were interested in Florida Atlantic because the opener.
They lost interest after they went up 28-0.
Yeah, probably true. Probably true.
And they lost interest when they showed up today.
That's probably true.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Actually, take it back. They scored touchdowns after the first two drives. They forced a pair of turnovers. Sean Wade started it with an interception. Then he forced a fumble, and they promptly then went down and scored.
And yada, yada, yada.
And then they were up 14-0, and then at that point they were kind of bored.
Yeah. Kind of like our listeners at this moment. So who had good games for the Buckeyes?
Sean Wade.
Sean Wade was amazing.
Justin Fields had a very solid game. I forget what he was.
Career best, 305 yards.
And it's only because
Let's say that again, 305 yards.
He has not played much in the
15 of 19.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ran pretty well.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, that was, I tweeted this during the game. I think the only time Ohio State fans are nervous today is when Justin Fields ran.
And why would that be,
well,
Joe?
Well, they watched Tua.
Throwing the bomb.
Bill was chomping at the bit to get in there, so go on.
No, Tua got hurt the game before Ohio State played. Justin Fields was aware of it, and there was no doubt Ohio State would win this game. The only thing that could happen that would be bad would be if a key player got hurt, and he's the most indispensable player they've got. Probably the only indispensable player they've got.
Did you put that in your game story, by the way?
What?
What you just said.
No.
Good, because I had it in mind. So this is the discussions that happen among writers. You want to make sure you didn't like overlap on stuff.
Should do it before we write, but
we give a little inside the beat look here.
That's what people want.
And I knew Joey was doing a Justin Fields sidebar, so I kind of stayed away from Justin.
It was interesting that
good.
Ryan Day brought out Justin Fields for the second half, up 35-7, and maybe you're wondering, are they going to really bring him out here? And the two injuries going on at the same time, both things are kind of happening at the same time, and you're following both games, and you see Tua hurts his hip, and they're up 28 points late in the second quarter, and you're wondering, he had an ankle injury last week. Should they play him? I think hindsight, as they say. What do they say about hindsight?
It's 2015.
Yeah.
That's where we went tonight, 2020. Tap House.
I've explained that. That just goes into the ether. It was the restaurant we ate.
We ate there.
The service was it took 1.5 hours to get our food?
Didn't take that long.
No, not that long.
Well, the whole time we were there probably was.
We were watching the end of the Oklahoma-Baylor game. Baylor choked that one away. So
big choke job there.
Big choke job. 28-3, and they lose 34-31.
We watched the LSU game against
Ole Miss,
and not a lot of defense played in that
Their quarterback got to play in the second half.
Because it was a close game.
Yeah, Ohio State's players don't get to play in the second half.
You know, let's be careful here. Let's not say Ohio State's players, they don't get to. That is a choice that the coaches make. It's not like there's some NCAA rule that you're not allowed to play in the second half. So let's not feel too sorry for them. I mean, I know Ryan Day comes out, that's not right that we can't do it. And I'm like, well, you're the coach. If you want to play him, go ahead. I don't think you should because of the injury issue. But, again, NCAA rule that you can't play a guy the whole game.
Sportsmanship.
Yeah, well.
Ryan Day's kind of governed by a greater rule than just NCAA rules.
And that got Jim Tressel in big trouble, so I'll just leave it at that.
Well, look, I mean, there's a balancing act of making sure your guys get enough reps and you win the game and you want to win convincingly and also not getting these guys hurt. And J.K. Dobbins didn't play in the second half at all. I asked him after the game, are you looking forward to the fact that you're going to have four-quarter games from now on, Penn State, Michigan, whatever else? And he kind of Well, I'm not saying it's going to be a four-quarter game. Might not be a four-quarter game.
Ooh. Like,
yeah.
Bulletin board material.
Yeah, there. So...
might be an overtime.
I don't think they use bulletin boards anymore.
No, it's an iPad.
Probably
game.
Don't. Yeah, it's an iPad. Yeah.
Group, maybe
social media game.
Maybe a group thread text message where they take the quote and they text it to everybody.
Could be. Yep. Group me.
But I think that's what Dobbins said shows the level of confidence on that team. And now we're down to three undefeated teams. I think we've
LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State.
And Clemson, whatever struggles they had early in the year, they're rolling now. 45-point wins the last four games, first time in whatever, long time for that.
Well, we were talking about it at the restaurant. They're basically, if you're Ohio State, I think you really do want to be the number one seed because there are three really good teams right now in LSU, Clemson, and Ohio State. And if you're the two seed, you have to play Clemson in that semifinal game at this point. If the playoffs started tomorrow, they would play Clemson in the first round. I'd much rather play Pac-12 champion or Georgia than Clemson right now, the way they're playing. I'd almost rather play LSU than Clemson, the way Clemson's right. playing right now.
I agree
now.
With you. LSU.
What was that? What? You agree with him?
I agree with him.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. He agrees with me. This
I don't
just,
like take it personally.
We're on a roll here.
Yeah.
Of mutual respect society.
Well, that'll end soon. LSU, obviously, with Joe Burrow, who I think, correct me if I'm wrong, used to play at Ohio State. Is that true? Is lighting it up, as always, and is the Heisman front runner. But their defense, I'm telling you, in the last 2 weeks, that does not strike fear into an opponent, LSU's defense. So it's going to be interesting to see who ends up number one, assuming these teams all win out. Joey?
I think Ohio State will have a very good case to eventually leapfrog LSU because they're going to play Penn State next week. Penn State was ninth in the playoff rankings this week. So, say Minnesota lost, so maybe Penn State's eight. They're a top 10 team. Michigan's in an inch close to the top 10. So, if Ohio State wins the next 2 weeks, they're going to have two top 10 wins. LSU isn't playing another ranked team until the SEC title game.
And that's when they re-jump them. Let's be honest here. If LSU, if it's Georgia, LSU, and Georgia only has one loss? I mean, they're four now. Georgia's four now. If LSU beats Georgia in the SEC title game, they're going to be number one.
Well, you hope
they're maybe.
Who's Ohio State going to play in the Big Ten? We know
Minnesota or Wisconsin, which will be about 15.
Which they've already beat. So you're not going to get a bump from the Big Ten championship.
Georgia can beat
game.
LSU.
Well, yeah. Well, then
or Georgia.
Then you got an issue. Then they're both in potentially.
Yeah, but Ohio State would be ahead of. They'll be one.
They would be number one then.
They'd be number one.
And you avoid Clemson in either case.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to avoid Clemson because I agree with you guys. By the end of the season, Clemson probably could make a claim to be number one.
Yeah, this is what Clemson does every year. They look so-so in September. They look so-so in October. And then they pick it up in the second half of the season. They're always well coached.
Yeah.
They have the same coordinators. They have Dabo. So we've seen this movie before.
How soon we forget that there was this term called Clemsoning. Do you remember this?
Of course.
And it was only what? It seems like it was 5 years ago, but it was probably longer than that.
It may have been one of the biggest games in their history was beating Ohio State in the Orange Bowl in 13.
Oh, right.
When
Braxton hurt himself.
Well, yeah,
Braxton Miller got injured.
That was the beginning. I mean, talk about
yeah. Sammy Watkins, right?
went wild against.
Yeah,
them.
Yeah. I'd say maybe wins that game if Braxton didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. You know, there was this whole Clemsoning thing that, like, they couldn't close the deal. They found ways to lose. They choked. You know, now there's Baylor-ing, I guess.
They did Baylor tonight.
They Baylor tonight. Baylor did. Okay, so. Injury update, Justin Fields. Joe, why don't you fill us in that there really is no – well, there was technically an injury, but yeah. What went through your mind? What did you see on the field? And then what did Ryan Day say after the game?
The main thing is Justin Fields had his hand stepped on, and it was a cut, and it was bleeding, and trainers looked at his throwing hand for a long time. But we had really no idea what exactly they were looking at. It could have been a wrist. It could have been a bone. We just saw him standing with the trainer for such a long time. And our back is turned with them. And then he came back and played after, but he only came back in and took a knee, so we didn't know exactly what the deal was. And he said he was fine, but there were a couple other plays earlier in the second quarter where he was kind of adjusting his knee pad or his thigh pad kind of above his left knee. It looked like it was kind of bothering him. So that was something we were monitoring. It didn't seem as if he was totally 100%, but at the end of the day, he came out largely injury-free.
Question, because I was out of there post-game a little earlier than you guys. Did they bring him out?
Yes, they did.
He was available.
Because he explained a little bit more of his injury. He said Benjamin Victor actually stepped on his hand when Victor was pulling him up from the ground after a play, and that caused
the
cut.
Ted Jr. situation.
Roy Hall.
Roy Hall, Ted, in the 2007 National Championship game against Florida. You know what we're talking about there.
I don't know. I'm not as embedded in the histories.
Yeah. Injuries. While Damon Arnette did not play today, he was just held out as precaution. Dave said that he was fine.
Was he on the not available list?
No, he wasn't.
Okay,
he was available. He was in uniform. He was.
Yeah, he was in
walking
uniform.
The sideline. It just may have been a case where something acted up during warmups, and he didn't want to play. The thing that's so tricky about all this team this year is there's so much background to players' injuries that we just have no idea about how much pain they're dealing with and that sort of thing, because we get absolutely nothing from Day about the status. We don't know if it was an issue with Arnette that came up during warm-ups, was it yesterday during the walkthrough on a Friday, or really what, because they really put the clamp down on
I did the game day cover on Arnette a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, the wrist is painful. It's an issue.
Well, he had a procedure done during the off before Northwestern.
He's got a screwer in his wrist, and so I think what they figured was we're going to beat Rutgers, and so why risk it? Let him have an extra week to let that thing heal a little bit before Penn State. It was a very vanilla game plan for the most part. I mean, they didn't do any kind of – it was just – they knew they could just beat them man-on-man, and they did. I think every game has been some kind of wrinkle. I don't think there were any in this one. I don't think there was anything we didn't see before, right?
In general, the whole status report thing for this game going in was fascinating, because there were usually every game there's a couple guys who are game-time decisions. There were no game-time decisions for this game. Basically, if you were on the fence, you stayed back in Columbus. Baron Browning, Joshua Allaby, all these guys, Austin Mack. None of them came out to Rutgers and tested out anything. They just stayed home, and they're getting ready for Penn State. No Jonathan Cooper.
Right. Obviously, Chase Young was back there lifting weights, apparently.
Yeah, getting ready for Penn State. Which we all just had this image of Chase Young deep in the Woody Hayes Center just lifting, pumping iron.
He's just seething.
Predator waiting. Schwarzenegger to show up.
Let's talk about Penn State a little bit. They struggled with Indiana today at home. Indiana's, you know, obviously a pretty good Indiana team, but I did not think they would take Penn State to the limit kind of the way they did today. And you think, okay, Ohio State beat Indiana 51-10 in Bloomington. Indiana loses by 7 at Penn State. You can always play that game with transitive scores, but what I've seen of Penn State this year, you know, I think that they're athletically, they have some players who can do some damage. I don't think they're on Ohio State's level.
Bill, it sounds like you're saying the Big Ten sucks. Is that what you're saying, Bill? Is that the point you're trying to make?
He is saying this, just our dear listeners, because that was the comment that Rob made about the Big Ten. Today.
I said maybe the Big Ten just isn't that good. We don't know. And Joey makes this sort of this philosophical thing about, well, if everybody else is worse, then you've got to be good.
It's called logic.
And my point is this. You have 5 bad apples sitting on the counter. They all have worms, but one only has 2 worms. Then 3, 4, you know, that.
Where do you shop?
Here's my question. Is the apple with only one worm a good apple? It is not. It's better than the other ones because it's not as bad, but it doesn't mean it's good.
These aren't apples, though. These are college football conferences.
Well, what's the difference? You know?
I'm saying.
We're in the Big Apple. We're near the Big Apple right now. So
are you familiar with curves?
That's my point. So, anyhow, it doesn't really matter because Penn State maybe isn't as good as what we thought. Is that fair?
Yes. That's kind of my point. Yeah.
Yeah. And Wisconsin?
We know what they are.
We know what Wisconsin is. They're not great.
Michigan, okay. I tell you, Michigan's got it together.
Bill, you said it all. You said it all year, and I've agreed with you. There it is. I'm on record saying I agreed with Bill that Michigan, that is the game.
That'll be the toughest game, although the more I think about Michigan also, isn't this a game where Michigan fans and people kind of drum up Michigan? Michigan's a top 10 team, and then Ohio State wins by 3 touchdowns. Isn't this how this movie goes?
No.
It can go that way.
I mean, it did last year. But
yeah, it can.
That's the only time it's been like that. Every other year, Ohio State's kind of been the favorite. And, I mean, last year was the only surprise in the rivalry. Although there were a couple games, and Michigan came a lot closer to beating Ohio State than we thought.
Bill and I were talking earlier today that even if Michigan's, like, rising here, and I think they are, they're starting to get their act together, they're going to take a little dip. You have to knock them down a couple notches for the Ohio State-Michigan game because of Harbaugh. In my opinion, he's not a great game coach. So they lose some points just for that standpoint. So they have to go into that game better than Ohio State because he's going to bring them down a little bit. And they're not better than Ohio State, so I expect Ohio State to win that game.
Well, I do, too. I mean, I think Ohio State's I mean, they're better than Michigan. But just because they're better doesn't mean in a one-game situation, especially at Michigan, that you're going to beat them.
Remember
Michigan,
the 90s.
Well, of course. I mean, the Ohio State fans will never forget those years. I mean, they just it'll scar them forever, just that memory.
Right.
Michigan is good enough that if Ohio State doesn't play well or Michigan plays really well, yeah, that could happen. They got good receivers. Their defense has certainly played a lot better. I still think Shea Patterson is, I mean, he's the key. I mean, if he doesn't play mistake-free, and he really never has, then Michigan's got a real chance. But it's a little different when Chase Young's chasing you, and you got the rest of the marauding Buckeyes coming at you, and you've got all the offensive weapons that Ohio State has.
Could be a big Heisman Trophy showing for Justin Fields or Chase Young.
The Heisman
next 2 weeks.
The Heisman race was upended a little bit today with Tua's injury, so he's out of the mix.
Right. I had to come back and change something online again inside the how we do business. I just called about 20 minutes ago because I had something saying that Justin Fields now is the clear number two behind Joe Burrow. That was before Jalen
Hurts
leads Oklahoma back from the depths, their greatest comeback in their school history to beat Baylor. So he's the transfer quarterback from Alabama to Oklahoma. I think he's right there with Justin Fields now. Bigger name recognition and a story to go with it. You know, not that Justin Fields doesn't have a story.
You could have three Heisman Trophy finalists, Joe Burrow, Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts, all transfer quarterbacks.
Yeah, welcome to the present future, right?
And, you know, Justin Fields, 30 touchdowns, one interception this year. One. It's 30 to one.
Yeah.
Is a ridiculous ratio.
One stat that was kind of crazy from tonight, if you want a little nugget. Fields completed 15 of 19 passes. 12 of those 15 were 10 or more yards.
Yeah, he was
slinging it tonight. It was kind of interesting. They weren't really – I don't think they were really that creative with the playbook. It was a lot of – Fields just chuck it deep and throw it up to Chris Olave or throw it up to Benjamin Victor or throw it up to somebody and let them make a play.
I think
just kind of out-talent them.
You know, I'm on record saying this is the best team I've seen through now 10 games since 1996. But I've got that gun-shy thing going. I've covered this team long enough. I saw that 2007 team, which was listed as one of the best teams ever and not just Ohio State. Oh six, 07 game, right? 06. And we've talked about this before. So I can't say that this team right now is unbeatable.
No, but you could say they're on a historic pace.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nobody's unbeatable.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about 18 to 22-year-olds. Nobody's unbeatable.
Well, here's a big picture thing. Only 9 times since something like 1936, the AP poll, has a team led the nation in scoring offense and scoring defense. And Ohio State leads now in scoring offense and scoring defense. That's only happened 9 times in the history of college football. And
when was the last one?
Let me see. I know UCLA did it in 57. I think it was Florida State in 1993, but they won those. They won national titles. The last teams that did it that way. But interestingly enough, you're better off having the scoring defense, a top-ranked scoring defense, than the scoring offense. I think that's happened. 8 of the last 11 national champions led the nation in scoring defense. So Ohio State's in a good place there. I mean, 21 points, Rutgers, that kind of hurt them a little bit, but they're still number one.
It's a great defense. I mean, today they didn't miss Chase Young. They didn't miss Jonathan Cooper. They didn't miss Damon Arnett. Sean Wade played great. Malik Harrison, I thought, was really good. They didn't even, I don't think Jeff Okuda was even involved in a play.
No.
I mean, they don't even throw his direction.
How about best play of the game? I'm going to go with Olave's catch. He made a catch off his, like, shin bone.
Yeah.
It was just...
While being interfered with.
Had to come back. It was really underthrown, which probably was good because it was the only place it could really be thrown. But that guy, he's so mild-mannered off the field, and yet you get on the field, he's got some flash to him, Olave.
California guy.
Oh,
SoCal guy, laid back.
Yeah, kind of like you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one was J.K. Dobbins' first touchdown around 17,
beautiful
18
cutbacks.
Yards. The cutback. Followed the block of Brandon Bowen and Wyatt Davis. And from our vantage view in the press box, it looked like, I'm not sure this is going to go anywhere. And then, boom, he cut it inside. Most guys cut outside. That was kind of the way, you know, you do it. And what a beautiful move. And off he went.
No. Exactly. Here's the other side. Who and what would Urban Meyer, if he was still coaching this team, most be most disappointed with at the moment? A player and a position.
You know what I'm going to say? I think he's not happy with the punter.
That's exactly right. Drew Chrisman, some struggles here. Bill, why don't you talk about that?
Well, he had a punt blocked. Was it last week?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. He had, right.
Yeah, set up Wisconsin's only touchdown that week.
He only had one punt last week and kind of shanked it, I think. And today, was it just one punt or two? I think it was one.
How much of the punting against Wisconsin really was his fault, though?
Well, regardless, I mean, this is a guy that
punt
was...
Game. I'm not
punt, punt game.
Punt game.
Yeah, punt game.
Look, Drew Chrisman's a really good punter.
Right.
Just
but
not,
well, I just want to make sure...
He's the one guy that has not played recently to the potential.
Well, I just wanted to clarify that.
I mean, we're nitpicking, but...
I don't want people to know that you threw Drew Chrisman under the bus.
I'm not throwing Drew Chrisman. It's reality.
No, I'm saying I want people to know that Bill didn't mean to throw him under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Joey. I don't think, Drew, if you're listening, I did not throw you under the bus.
He's probably listening at this point. He's probably 25
he drove over you, but he didn't throw
25
you
minutes deep.
It.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so we've been going at this podcast. Do you want time to wrap up? We sponsors. How could we forget our wonderful sponsors? That we're going to take a break for our sponsors and come on back.
Hey, football fans. Leave the Hail Marys for the game and go for a sure thing when it comes to satisfying your craving. When you pick up Raising Cane's for game day, all you have to worry about is the score because we've got the food covered. With hand-battered, cooked-to-order, always fresh, never ever frozen chicken fingers, craveable cane sauce in jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. One love.
And we're back. We love our sponsors. And we'll finish with just a little talk here about, because Joey wanted to do this, so we're going to do it. We're in the shadow of New York City right here. And you guys went to a comedy club. I went elsewhere in the Big Apple. But you guys
Hey-o.
Went to a, huh?
Hey-o.
What's hey-o?
Was that the Ed McMahon thing?
That sounds like the Ed McMahon thing.
I don't know. You said you went elsewhere, so I was making an innuendo.
He went to see his brother.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
They were clothes, apparently.
Amazingly enough. And we watched a Civil War movie about generals laying in fields. What do we? So anyhow, I was trying to be nice to you guys and say
yes.
You went to this comedy club and
the world famous comedy cellar.
Oh, is it world famous?
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And who did you see? You want to throw some names out there?
Well,
people, you know,
it was six comedians. The two the people might recognize were Judah Friedlander from The Office, and Colin Quinn, who was used to be on Saturday Night Live and has been around for a long time. There were some other funny comics that you wouldn't have heard of, so we're not going to mention their names, but it was very funny.
Yeah, and then on the other side of it, Joey and Ray Stein, who's not here, he's our sports editor, but he travels with us. I'm sure he's asleep right now, clothed. And so we went to Ground Zero, and we're not going to make light of this. It's a moving, if you've never been to Ground Zero, highly recommended. I wouldn't recommend taking selfies like people are doing there. You know, I think that's tacky.
Yeah, that's one of the things I brought up to you.
Disrespectful. You did, Joe, the patriot that Joe is. He brought that up, and it's a moving experience.
It's a memorial. It's not for the gram.
We didn't go do the inside museum, which is, you know, Joey's done it. It's very impacting.
It's a sports
definitely worth going.
Bill's done it. But just being there, it's just the waterfall, that whole thing. It's kind of soothing in its own way, but it just kind of, that brings the contrast of what it must have been like that day. Just
almost 20 years, hard to believe.
Yeah, almost.
We were talking about it too. They're recruiting football players to come play at Ohio State who weren't born on before 9/11.
Wow, that's makes us feel old.
A lot of the players, a lot of the players in the team. I mean, Justin Fields he's 20 years old. 9/11 was 18 years ago, so he was 2 years old.
Just turned 3, so yeah. he's 21.
Yeah. Yep. So if you come to Gotham, go see the 9/11.
Yeah, Rutgers isn't much for the Big Ten, but you can go to New York, so that's.
Yeah, that's one of the.
It's a feather in the cap. It's
one of the perks.
Maybe the only perk.
Yeah, well, potentially, yeah. And it's cold here, folks, too, man. It was cold on that field. I feel for those dudes.
Windier, I thought, than it had been in Columbus.
Right, right. So anyhow, Penn State, let's finish with this. Penn State prediction? It's early, but
we got to hold it. We want people to listen next week.
Okay, well, I'm taking Ohio State. I'll just say that. I think Ohio State wins.
Going on a limb.
You are really just the gutsiest guy I know.
Well, thank you.
Did you have
in the room with you.
Did you have Ohio State of Rutgers today?
I did. I had a 72-7.
But did you? We all had Rutgers. I think we all picked Ohio State to cover, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh. And they didn't. Ooh. They didn't. They didn't cover.
Is that the first time? Second time this season?
Almost? Second time. They didn't cover against Florida Atlantic and didn't cover today.
Well, speaking of covers, it's time to go to bed.
And be under them.
Sayonara. We're signing off from wonderful Somerset, New Jersey.
Yeah, make sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Yep.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast enjoyment. I listen to mine on Apple Podcasts. Rob's not a podcast guy, neither is Bill, but I highly recommend.
We only do
Apple Podcasts. Yeah.
I listen to podcasts.
You do?
I listen to podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Enneagram.
What?
Oh, never mind. That's a whole nother subject. Okay. See you guys. Thanks for listening.
The Buckeye Extra Podcast is brought to you by Rosati Windows, Central Ohio's number one replacement window company, and Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. Game day tastes better with Raising Cane's tailgates full of 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken fingers.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra Podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.